So there's four of us, and we're walking up over a hill, over up towards Cape Bruny, and we get to this clearing where the shrubs on the top of the cliff, they open up, and we're looking out over this cliff out towards the ocean. But the sky, we can't see the sky at all because it's completely obscured by these low-lying, swirling rain clouds. But all of a sudden, right in front of us, these clouds open up and just golden light pours down right in front of us. And right in the centre of these golden God rays, there's a sea eagle that's riding the thermal currents, and it's just perfectly suspended halfway between the ocean and the clouds, and it's just soaring between the swell and the storm, and it is so beautiful. You can open your eyes now. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment. So we're standing there in silence and no one's saying anything, because that's what you do when you are just awed by the majesty of nature. And Simon goes something like, "Oh, wow, that eagle's beautiful." And Carl goes, "Yeah, wow." And Jemima kind of nods and agrees. Meanwhile, I'm like in tears and just having a little moment to myself, just like crying about the eagle and the clouds. And I thought that I'd gotten away with it. I thought no one had noticed that I was just communing deeply with nature. You know, it's raining. I thought that this was fine. Later, we're sitting at the pub. We're having dinner at Bruny Island Hotel. And it becomes apparent that, in fact, everybody has noticed. And they just were all laughing at me silently, which is fine. It's fine. I'm here to entertain. So anyway, while I'm in the throes of my surprise emotional reaction to a bird of prey, they all kind of wander off up the hill, and I just stay there for an extra minute or two to, like, recompose myself. Still trying, actually. But as I stood there and I just kind of waited and took some deep breaths, something amazing happened. And that eagle that had just been kind of floating in the wind, it did something pretty special, and it actually dove down to actually catch a fish. And I'm the only person that got to see that. It's pretty cool. It was really dramatic, actually. And so I kind of joked to the guys as we were waiting for the ferry to come home. I was talking to Simon and Carl in the car, and I said, "Oh, last time I came to Bruny Island, I got a sermon out of it, and I've got to preach this week, so we can't leave yet." And Carl goes, "Oh, come on, surely there's a sermon in crying about the eagle." And we all laughed, but, you know, here we are. Because as I have replayed that moment over and over in my mind in the last few days, I've realised something important. That eagle actually wasn't just joyriding as it floated over the ocean. Like, animals don't really have pastimes or interests. I guess dogs do, they go fetching. But even that's an instinctive response. Entertainment is kind of a purely human construct. So that eagle didn't just go, "Oh man, the weather looks great, I'm just going to go hang out there." It was there for a purpose. It was hunting. It was waiting for something. The moment that it actually dove was the culmination of the whole experience. It wasn't the whole experience. And I don't know if you've ever been in a season where you feel like you're ready for the next thing, where you're just ready to go. And I know this is a funny kind of a sermon to preach as we as a church get ready to make our big move across the river, because in a sense we kind of already have our next thing lined up. But I know for me, I don't know, Pastor Dave has this amazing prophetic gifting where he can kind of look at the whole church and work out what people in the church need to hear and speak into that. I can only kind of figure out what God is doing in my life and be vulnerable enough to share it, and hope that the Holy Spirit comes to rest in the space between me and you, and that he is able to illuminate something to you in what he's doing in me. And so for me, I'm in a waiting season, and I have to just trust that there are people here who are also in waiting season, and that although we corporately, we have an action to take individually, some of us are feeling like we're really kind of stuck in that waiting season. And so that's the kind of feeling that I'm preaching into today. Sometimes we feel like, because we don't feel like what we want or what we feel like we need is right there and ready to go, immediately available, We kind of feel like we must be in the wrong place, or we must be doing something wrong. We're doing the wrong things because nothing is shifting. And how great is that temptation to move on to something different because you don't feel like you're seeing breakthrough, or to feel like you feel it. You're not getting any results and you feel like you're not growing, or whatever it is that you feel like you're ready for. It's so frustrating and it's so tempting to go, oh, I'll just go and try somewhere else. Like, you don't immediately strike gold, so you just go and start somewhere else. So for me, what this looks like at the moment is I'm really keen to step into a new role at work, a new kind of leadership role, but it doesn't exist at the moment. The role that I want doesn't exist at the moment, or there's other people in it who are not going anywhere and there's only a certain number of those roles, and it won't for a couple of years. And there's people who have mentored me really faithfully and really well who are going, you know what, you should just try another school. You're ready for this. You're qualified for this. You're not going to get it here for a couple of years. You should just go somewhere else. It's the easy fix. And it's really wise advice. And it's really tempting when I'm focused on what I want and what I think I am ready for and what I think I deserve. But you know what? When I consider all the ways that it has been so clear to me that my current place is the right place over the last couple of years, and I know I've shared so many stories from up here about what God has done in that school and how it has just been so right place, so right time over the last couple of years. When I consider all those things, I'm reminded of a passage in the Bible in Isaiah 40, starting from verse 31. And it says, "Why would you ever complain, O Jacob?" I try not to take that personally. "Or whine, Israel, saying, 'God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me.' Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's the creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything, inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and they soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind." And how much does this passage resonate with how we feel in those waiting seasons when we're going, "God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening?" Has anyone else ever prayed a prayer that sounded like that? God, are you seeing this? Are you seeing what's happening? Are you busy? What is happening? You got something better on, God? And I wonder, when we think of what it means to spread your wings and soar like eagles, I wonder what it actually is that we are imagining. Because I don't think like eagle, majestic bird of prey, oh yeah, waiting, patience. I think like power and like predatory and on the hunt and getting what it wants and strength. I think those things. It's more likely that I'm kind of imagining the dive rather than the soaring, right? The moment of action, the culminating moment. It's the moment that we get what we want is always what we think about when we think about God. When we pray, we think about the moment that we get our breakthrough, or we get to the next thing, or, you know, we see some action. Whatever it is, I'm being a little bit abstract here, and I'm trusting that God is going to direct your thoughts to your situation. But the thing about eagles that I've realized over the last week or so is that eagles hunt by waiting. They hunt by waiting. We don't think about the fact often that for an eagle, the moment of action is unable to happen without a significant period of waiting. And for us standing on the top of that windswept cape, on the top of Cape Bruny, overlooking this amazing picturesque scene of an eagle soaring above the ocean, it looked exactly how everything should be. Like, it looked like you couldn't have put all those elements together better. It looked perfect. That eagle was hungry for something else. I was waiting. And I was reminded in that, you know what? This is my first point, is that God can see what you can't see. He can see something that you can't. The passage I read before said that God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath, and he knows everything inside and out. A different perspective makes everything look different. Because I can imagine, I can talk to birds now. I've thought about this eagle so much that I share a consciousness with it now. I can imagine this eagle, this majestic, beautiful eagle, struggling to hold its position over the ocean. It's hungry. It's desperately trying to spot a fish through the driving rain. Like, I know they've got good eyesight, but that rain was horizontal. Like, it would have been really hard for him, her, it to see the fish. He would not have been looking at the rain like we were, thinking, oh my gosh, the rain is so beautiful. Look at the way the rain is making the trees sparkle. Look at the way the rain clouds are swirling. This is what we were thinking. Pretty sure that eagle is looking at that rain going, I don't know if eagles swear. I was probably saying something, gosh darn rain. Stop that nonsense, rain. He would not have been being tossed around by those driving winds going, wow, how incredible is the power of the wind? How refreshing is that wind? He's probably going, gosh darn winds, making it really hard for me to fly. He's probably hungry. He's cold. He's fairly irritated by the whole scenario, right? I don't know. Can't really talk to birds, but, you know, doing my best to be empathetic towards the eagle. What I do know is that we were looking down on that same scene and just thinking how perfect it was and how beautiful it was. And the sun is shining off that same rain. And how incredible it was to see this tiny little speck of an eagle, because we're a long way away, being supported by such strong winds. How the whole thing looked perfect, and it looked exactly how it should have been. I wouldn't have changed anything about it. And I'm reminded that in Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 11, it says, I don't think the way that you think. This is God talking to Israel. The way that you work isn't the way that I work. God's decree. For as the sky soars above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. I'm so glad that Jemima shared that verse as we worshipped today. The whole book of Isaiah is a book about waiting. It's a book of prophecy that speaks to the people of Israel as they wait for the coming of the Messiah. It's a nation, we're talking about a nation that waited for deliverance from powerful military allies. They waited for political independence, for freedom, for their own nation. They waited to be released from completely unattainable standards spiritually. They waited and they waited and they waited for centuries. Isaiah knew what waiting felt like. It was all his people had ever known. And yet, when God spoke to him, he declared these words, just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words of my mouth not come back to me empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment that I gave them. God is not finished with you. God is not finished until the breakthrough comes. God is not finished until you see the victory. It is easy to be in the midst of discomfort, to be in the midst of waiting, and to think that everything is all wrong because everything feels all wrong. If you are feeling like you have been left or abandoned by God, if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling that a new job, a breakthrough in a relationship, a healing is taking so long that it's probably not coming, if you're praying prayers that sound like God has lost track of me, he doesn't care what's happened to me, isn't it possible? Isn't it possible that God has got a higher view, that he is looking on, looking from a cape, looking at you, soaring above the ocean, and he is saying, this is just perfect. You are just in position. This is beautiful. You are perfectly positioned to get your breakthrough if you can just hold your position. While the wind comes at you and the rain comes at you and you are moving from side to side and you are struggling to keep your eye on what you came for, if you can just hold your position, you are right where you are supposed to be. Number two, hold your position. Eagles hunt by waiting. Actually, I think, no, I'm no David Attenborough. I wish I was. He's just the coolest. Sorry, got to be excited. What's the point? The point is, okay, I think that for most animals that hunt, most predatory animals, I actually think there's a fair bit of waiting involved, right? And I think that David, as much as I love him, this is David Attenborough, not David in the Bible or our pastor, just to be really clear, David Attenborough, I think he has given us a false sense of how quickly that stuff happens. Because we get to see in real time the moment of like the prey being brought down, like a couple of lionesses bringing down an antelope, or yeah, antelope, that's fine. Am I on the wrong continent? No, that's fine. Or like, you know, those incredible shots of dolphins that hunt the huge schools of fish. We get to see the moment that it all happens, but we don't know that that's been achieved with a time lapse that's taken several days to achieve that one shot, right? We think that it's much faster than it really is. And birds of prey, because that's the theme we're on, they hunt by soaring really high above the area that they're hunting in and waiting for their prey to come into view. Imagine the lack of control in that. Like, they just have to wait and hope that something swims or runs underneath them. They can't control. They can't control when that happens. All they can do is maintain the position that they're in. And you can't control how long you wait on God. You can't control when a move of God happens. You can't manufacture that. But you know what? You can control how you wait. The way that we wait is what is in our control. Hold your position. Galatians 6 verses 9 to 10 says, "So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith." Hold your position based on purpose, not on emotion, not on what might be a limited view of the situation. What was it that you actually set out to achieve? What are you here for? Did you come to catch a fish? Who's here to catch a fish tonight? Just Simon. Sweet. That's good. That's why I married him. You got me hook, line and sinker. Oh, Leonie, I appreciate you so much. Oh, because if you came to catch a fish, if you set out to catch a fish, don't give up because it rains. Don't give up because it's windy. Imagine if sea eagles gave up on catching fish because of the weather. There wouldn't be any in Tasmania for a start. Imagine if they gave up because the rain just got too wet or the waves got too big. They'd have to find something else to eat, right? That would, you know, they probably wouldn't die out. They'd probably just go find something else to eat. What does a bird of prey eat when there's no live prey available? This is not rhetorical. What do you think they eat? Carrion. They go and eat dead things. There's nothing sadder, I think, than seeing an eagle on the side of a road eating roadkill, because you just know that eagle is not meant to eat dead things. They could eat something washed up on a beach, something on the side of the road, but eagles are not meant to eat dead things. Do you know what? Fast food actually exists because we have this inherent inability to wait for what is good for us. That's exactly why it's there. Like, we can always go home and cook something nutritious. It's usually cheaper. It's always better for us. It's going to take like half an hour to 45 minutes though, because, you know, Jamie Oliver always lies about his 30-minute meals. I could go home and I could cook something that is really healthy. It's going to take me like half an hour, so I'm just going to hit up this drive-through because I am hungry right now. And it is more important to me to be satisfied right now than to actually do something that is going to sustain me and renew my strength, right? But it never goes well, right? Never goes well for us. Yeah, you laugh. I've shared a car with you. Okay, so Simon and I used to be the youth leaders of the Belrive congregation many, 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 many years ago. And one of the things that we decided to do, in our infinite wisdom, we've decided there was a Youth Alive event up in Devonport. And we're like, great, we'll definitely go to that. We'll take all the kids. It'll be awesome. Oh, let's do a McDonald's tour of Tasmania. There's a lot of McDonald's in Tasmania, guys. Like, there's a lot. Between here and Devonport, a lot of McDonald's. Anyway, so we ate McDonald's for a whole weekend, like 3 days worth. Filthy. Absolutely filthy. That's why people don't last in youth ministry. It's the cholesterol. I can tell you that there was not a lot of energy on that bus by the end of the weekend. And yes, it had been a big weekend with not much sleep, but mainly there was not a lot of energy because there was not a lot of nutrition. There was not a lot of renewal going on. When we eat good food, we renew our strength. Let's return to our original passage. It says, those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and they soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Waiting is actually part of the process if we want renewal. You want to be refreshed, you want fresh strength, you've got to wait for the good food to cook. We have to be able to wait if we want our strength to be renewed. Sometimes we think we need our strength to be renewed so that we can wait. But it's actually the other way around. The waiting is what's renewing it. Us. All right. Number three. Keep your eyes on the prize. In this case, the fish. The fish. So eagles, we probably know them best for their vision, because we use the phrase eagle-eyed quite a lot to describe a clear focus. And their ability to successfully hunt is basically determined by being able to see their prey really clearly from a long distance away. So when we looked at our friend the sea eagle, he was hundreds of metres above the sea level and he was looking down, trying to spot his fish. God sees the whole scene with perfect clarity. He can see everything that's going on. We actually only need to be able to focus on one thing with perfect clarity. See, it didn't matter to the eagle that he couldn't see the beautiful sunshine glinting off the rain that we could see. He only needed to be able to see the fish. He only needed his focus to be in one direction. We only need to see one thing clearly, and that's our prize. in Philippians 3, verse 14, struggling with the numbers today, says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Our waiting is determined by our ability to see the prize, to focus on the goal. In Romans 8:22-25, it says, all around us we observe a pregnant creation. Pregnant is a key word there. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs, but it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. Any pregnant mothers want to differ with that? Feel diminished by the waiting in those last few days? We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy. Does the band want to come up, please? Waiting for a baby to be born is hands down the most frustrating experiences I've ever had. Just waiting. Those last few days feel like actual years. It's amazing. Like, I just didn't know that a day could go for that long. It's incredible. Everything happens in slow motion, especially if you need to tie your shoelaces. It happens really slowly. Oh, I remember waiting for Eleanor to arrive. And at some point, after a lot of really pointless grumbling, which I at the time was referring to as prayer, but it wasn't, it was just whinging and whining, like in that verse where it says, oh, why would you complain, oh, Jacob? That was me. That's what I was doing. I remember changing the way that I prayed, and I switched it from, God, get this baby out of me, please, to, Lord, make me into the person that I need to be when this baby arrives. Because while we are waiting, God is creating. When your eyes are fixed on Jesus, your waiting is never wasted. While we are waiting, God is creating. Hebrews 12 starts with these words. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins, no drive-throughs. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honour, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he ploughed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Another version, the one that Jemima shared earlier, refers to Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. The author is the same root word as the word initiator. The initiator and the perfecter. He doesn't just get us started and go, off you go. He's there as we wait. He's perfecting us. Sometimes I think we miss that bit in between author and perfecter. But there's a drafting and a redrafting. There's an editing process where as we wait, he's creating us. He's the one who not only renews our strength to enable us to hold our position in the waiting, but as we wait, he's transforming us. It's only in the waiting that we become more perfect. It's only in the waiting that we become like Jesus. You can endure anything if what is on the other side of that trial means more to you than the experience of the trial. Absolutely anything. For the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. Do you know what the joy set before him was? It was relationship with us. It was us. We are the joy set before him. Restoration with humanity was a joy set before him. For that, Christ endured the cross. Relationship with you, relationship with people was more important to him, was worth more to him than his safety, than his glory, than his life. What are you waiting for? What is the thing that you are waiting for? What is the shift that you need to see? Is it worth more to you than comfort, than the satisfaction of a momentary desire, than a drive-through experience? Is what you are waiting for worth more than the experience of the waiting? Because if your eyes are fixed on Jesus in the waiting, he is transforming you. Romans 12:2 says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. And that snapshot of our normal life is sometimes so much what we feel like the waiting is. When we're going through the motions and every day is a bit the same, or we're just doing our stuff. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Transformation is what happens to us when we take control of our focus. When our eyes are on the prize, when we are looking for that fish, and that fish is Jesus. Transformation is a byproduct of pursuing Jesus. It's not the point. If you set out to be transformed, you're going to end up frustrated and disappointed. If you set out to pursue Jesus, you're going to be transformed. And you know what? The longer that we wait, the larger we become. The more joyful we become in our expectancy. I want to go back to that original text. Why would you ever complain, O Jacob? Or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young people in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and they soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He endures. He doesn't get fatigued in the waiting. He knows that the waiting is a necessary part of the breakthrough. He sees a more complete picture than what you see. He knows that right where you are is right where you are meant to be. He knows this moment is beautiful, even though it doesn't feel this way. While we're waiting, God is creating. He's renewing your strength, and he's creating the person that you need to be when your wait is over. Keep your eyes on the prize, because he's in the waiting. I've asked the team to do this song for us, particularly tonight, because, you know, I like to micromanage the worship leader because I know they'll love it. Jemima is amazingly graceful. I just feel like for us, there's an injection of fresh strength. perhaps because we are coming to the end of a waiting season. You know, I've heard us talk about this new building, this new season for 10 years. It's been happening for longer than that. That's just how long I've been here. We're coming to the end of that waiting season as a church, and we're going to need some fresh strength. We're going to need that eagle focus on our prize. We're going to need to become larger in these last few weeks than we've ever been before, because we are getting closer to our breakthrough, to our next thing. In all of our lives, God is doing something, and we're going to need to get bigger. We are going to need to be more joyful in our expectancy. We're going to need to see some transformation, and we're going to need some fresh strength. We're going to need to wait well. So in this last song, I want you to lean in. I want you to lean into the lyrics of this song. I want you to listen to the Spirit of God, because He is creating something in you tonight that is going to build you into the next season. Let's go there. We feeling brave? Did you come to catch a fish?